Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Samus. Everybody thought it was a boy island, but it was a girl island in the end.
Island was girl.
It didn't have a peninsula.
Lore Boys here, the internet's number one fake history podcast, not doing a Christmas episode because I didn't have time to think of a good idea this Christmas season. I am your highly advanced humanoid host, Peter O'Donohue, and I am joined by...
I'm like a monk from the year 200 AD, Ethan Palmer.
James Miller. Hi. Yeah.
Hi.
All right, good. Yeah, so
Pete's sci-fi futuristic,
yeah,
on past, and Jamie's the ghost of Christmas present.
That's me.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's what happens in Assassin's Creed, is Desmond Mild is visited by three assassins in the night. The teacher about the future. today's Assassin's Creed episode will be part of an unknown amount of parts. I had a lot of fun doing this one, and people have been wanting it for a while. And also I kind of wanted to get into like a pump and dump scheme with Ubisoft's stock right now, which at the time of writing had lost 19% of its value since the start of 2023.
It was up to 21. It was like a 21% dip to like in a day at one point. And the CEO's response to that was emailed all the developers, "Hey guys, you got to work hard or else you might not have jobs soon. So
yeah,
this is on
up,
you kind
like,
of thing.
This is in your hands now," which is so fucking crazy. Yves Guillemot, fuck him.
Yeah, like zero guidance.
And I can't believe your Ghost Recon NFTs didn't pan out, dickhead.
Dude, yeah. And we in Montreal, you have a lot of folks here who work for Ubisoft, so... That could affect some of our friends if it doesn't work out.
Probably like 1,000 people here in Montreal.
There's 1,800, I think.
It's a big studio.
Yeah, 1,800.
Yeah. So I guess along with fake history, we provide fake financial advice. So everybody pump and dump Ubisoft stock. That's what they deserve.
Don't worry, Ubisoft. After this Lore Boys episode, you're going to freaking skyrocket like every other company.
Dude, wouldn't that be fucking hilarious?
Yeah. they have a huge resurgence. Everyone's buying Assassin's Creed Rogue now because we their stock.
Yeah,
I did a Glover episode, and then Glover 2 came out a few months after. Like pretty much 20 years. So
that's true. Yeah,
it's kind of
gaming. I killed Coolio, if you guys recall.
Yeah.
Did you take your shoes?
No, it didn't, because I made, like, the only time I've ever made a Gangster's Paradise joke, and he died the following day.
Oh. I forgot he was dead. R.I.P.
I was polite laughing. I didn't know that.
Oh, no?
No, yeah.
I feel like we talked about it. I had forgotten all about it.
I forgot, yeah.
I do feel like it came up at some point.
Yeah, somebody mentioned him on a podcast I was listening to yesterday, which is, it's fresh in my mind. Ooh. Anyway, 2 days, Assassin's Creed episode. What the fuck? I should rereading my old paragraphs. Today's Assassin's Creed episode was requested by patrons Eric with a K, Chesterful, and Bray, while Deadman, Cyroz, and Voternuts provided the backup vocals on that one. So thanks to those six for that one.
Cool.
And finally, on the topic of pump and dumps, I would like to welcome the five new patrons who joined us this week, one of which I think Jamie like fin-dommed into joining us, basically.
Magnus so that's, has always been boosting the server anyways, but finally got into the secret chats.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd like to welcome T3Key, 1313, Matthew Stockman, Lance Felker, DFG, ? And Noah Head.
The fucking guy.
Yeah.
Or girl.
With a question mark, yeah.
I guess the fucking guy or girl. That's what the question mark is for, because it's the fucking guy or girl.
Could be. Just the anonymous, the Twitter egg. Yeah, I don't think I'm kind of losing track of all the people who join Discord now because I am bad at it. So it would just make sure if you guys have all your privileges and your secret chats and all that shit, make sure to let one of us know so we can give you the old boosty boost, because it doesn't always happen automatically, which is kind of odd.
If you don't see the hidden chat, then make sure to let us know.
Yeah, exactly.
You won't know, yeah.
It should work automatically. It works automatically for 99.9% of people.
It's so. The yeah, ones that it doesn't work automatically for is if they're server boosters.
Server boosters.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
If you're a server booster and a patron and you're worried about it, reach out to us, but otherwise it works automatically.
Yeah.
Don't let Pete discourage you from buying into Loreboys Patreon, patreon.com/Loreboys, just because you're worried about technical difficulties. It's very seamless and good all the time.
Yeah. It's a good thing.
Yeah, Patreon is never broken, ever, right?
It's a good thing I was like up all night with a friend last night because I caught a scammer trying to get people to click on links at like 5:30, 6 a.m. Nobody clicked on him because I was the only one awake, so... I did it for you guys. I did it for you guys.
Jamie fucking up my crypto alt. Damn it.
But join the Discord. The link is in the description below. Don't worry about a bunch of scam bots who are going to try and scam your computer. Okay?
No, you don't.
Not on our server. Jamie's awake 24/7 to take care of it.
I stay up all night and I dive on that grenade anytime I see it, you know? And
He clicks it first. He did click for the free nitro and then realized that it was a scam. And then before his computer exploded, he managed to delete all the links. So
at everyone good. In general, like, hello, this is the IRS. You have forgotten to pay your taxes. You're like, oh, dang, dude.
Yeah, I didn't actually try to save the server. I just wanted all the free nitro to myself. So I banned him and I kept the links, you know?
Either one of you. You familiar with Assassin's Creed? There's like 40 games. I'm sure one of you guys have played at least one. What's your experience with Sasso Credo?
Yeah, I played the first on, pretty shortly after release, and I played the heck out of two. It was the first game I ever 100%ed was Assassin's Creed.
Really?
I was living with Ethan when he was doing that, so I remember going hanging out on your bed, and you had the Xbox in your room for a little while there, and
Just grinding out giant towers with eagles on them.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, do you collect feathers in the second one as well, don't you? Is there one of the collectibles?
I do. I've blocked out of my mind. It was like, what, like 12 years ago? Or no, 14 years ago?
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Like, I think I've played 1 and 2 and watched someone play 3, and then I've played through Origins, I think. That's the Egypt one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I played through Origins.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, for me, there was one spring, I think it was around 2014, where I finally decided to play the series because I had not touched them at all. I'd seen people play the first one a few times. I've seen the opening of Assassin's Creed 1 like 5 or 6 times, but I have never actually played it.
Where you do the training, you're like the Knights Templar attacking the temple of the Assassins or whatever, and you have to like... You do your first leap of faith into the hay pile, like
exactly.
to get around behind them. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and like how Altair like fucks something up. That's like I've seen the prologue to Assassin's Creed one a bunch of times. Never played it. Never even tried.
Dude, remember when climbing towers to see new parts of the map and then jumping down into piles of hay was like a new idea for Ubisoft? Yeah. Now they just rinsed and repeated like
every game,
every single game. Yeah.
Exactly. You have to take a leap of faith off of their stock price and then land in the hay pile that it's in right now. Prior to 2014, I'd only played Black Flag, the pirate one, and it's really, really good. I jumped into that one because it was just like, hey, there are literally zero pirate games on Earth right now. And then Black Flag fucking comes out. It's a banger.
There was Sid Meier's Pirates from the year 2000. Okay. So
kind
of take umbrage with that.
My bad. Sorry.
Which was very, very ahead of its time. Like a lot of the Sid Meier's sim games, but.
Yeah. So Ubisoft themselves tried to actually make a pirate game. This is just a funny aside here, which is going to set up one of the images I want you guys to look at in chat. Ubisoft has been trying to make a pirate game called Skull and Bones, which they announced in 2017. And this week, delayed for a 7th time into 2024-ish. So there still is no release date. And honestly, with the state of Ubisoft right now, they might dump out like a minimum viable product along with Beyond Good and Evil 2 and then just go bankrupt. Like, I have no idea what's going on there. But if you want to open the first spoiler image, just tell me what... Describe the results I got when Googling Skull and Bones yesterday, please.
You Googled... You Googled Skull and Bones.
Yeah.
You got two copies of it, which it sounds like it's not coming out for another several years. So fuck off Walmart.ca and GameStop.ca.
Yeah.
Because you do not have those copies that you are claiming to have. And then the third one... The third one is articulated finger puppet toys, scary cosplay from Amazon. So I don't know what kind of crack you're smoking, Amazon search algorithm, but
this is like salad finger length fingers, yeah. And they're like gloves that go on your hand, but make your fingers real, real long. And
yeah.
You know the like what old people use to grab stuff off high shelves, like the it's got like the little like clamp, and it's got like a little trigger on a stick.
Yeah,
it's essentially that, but for each of your fingers, without like I guess the clamp at the end. But yeah. Just like a little mechanical plastic like thing you put on your fingers.
Yeah, this isn't even Amazon like spying on me. The last three things I bought on Amazon was the Transformers 15th anniversary action figure pack, and then a phone case, and then the magnet thing for your dashboard. So I don't know why they were just like, yeah. We got him with the spider fingers.
This guy likes our articulated finger puppet toys. From our algorithm.
I got YouTube ads lately, and it's like an anime girl who's like super busty, and they're like, now with jiggle physics. And she's just shooting like, now just shooting like a giant gun, like bah, 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 and her boobs are just jiggling around. And I'm like, I don't even watch anime or anything close to it. And I don't know why it's targeting me, but.
The sound that you guys heard of a mic being hit was actually my boner popping up and hitting my mic.
Ethan, we can edit it out now.
Girl with jiggle physics.
No, I want to edit out David's boner.
Talking and you punch your mic.
Sorry. I had jiggle physics enabled and it got a little crazy over here.
Yeah. Jamie's jiggle physics hit the mic.
Yeah, so anyway, I jumped headfirst into the series. I like borrowed copies of various Assassin's Creeds, which I'm just going to refer to as AC now, on like both 360 and PS3. We had both in my apartment that I was living in at the time, and just like from various friends. I think it was like maybe the last time I ever used Facebook was like, hey guys, can I borrow a copy of any of the Assassin's Creeds if you could? And there was like, I don't remember what it was called, but I played... The reason I think this was 2014 is because this is the Assassin's Creed Unity, the one during the French Revolution, was the newest one, which I played after they patched in people's faces. So you guys can open the second spoiler image. It's just two shit posts for this episode.
It's just when you said that, I knew what image it was going to be. Where the face, the skin texture didn't load, so it's just like his hair looking like a toupee sitting on nothing, very like Invisible Man-esque. And then it's just like. Teeth and gums
like the ones that you would it is I and the teeth and gums look like the ones you could wind up and they'll go
the Joker teeth. So I got Unity and Assassin's Creed 3, I want to say, on like this video game trading website where you would like it was all like currency free. You would trade people games, and like I traded some guy like my copy of Pokemon Ruby with a dead battery, so you couldn't do any of the like timed events on it anymore, for a spare key of Assassin's Creed Unity that he had.
Wow.
True. Yeah.
What a fun time.
Yeah,
I don't remember that at all. Yeah. I feel like those kind of things are harder to find these days.
Yeah, they are. It's like Facebook Marketplace. It's just like, hey, trade, like we've all got extra crap, let's all like it's a very community thing. I only did it twice. And then since then, I've done some QA work for Ubisoft and received both Assassin's Creed Origins and Odyssey directly from them as payment for like the 1 hour Zoom call that they make you do during the pandemic, basically. So that's the ones that are in. Sorry?
Assassin's Creed Origins and Odyssey, and Jamie already clarified which is which, but when you say Origin, I always forget which one it is, and then you say Odyssey, and I remember that that's Greek. So yeah, then I always have to like retroactively be like, Origin has to be Egypt.
It's Ptolemaic Egypt, and then Origin obviously is a meaningless subtitle because it's not even the furthest in the past. The one set during the ancient Greek one is further in the past. It's during the Peloponnesian War. It's like 300 years before Origin.
I liked Origin a lot because it wasn't just like wait, and then like wait for your perfect counter attack that guy, wait for your perfect counter attack that guy. You got to have like weapons that you leveled up, and it was more like kind of MMO-y, where like when you hit someone, the big number would pop up over their head, and you would know if they're like too strong because they have levels and stuff. But I remember I just got a big honking hammer, and I would just take huge ass swings, and I would one hit everything, and the biggest, longest 3 second swing kind of thing. And it was awesome.
Me in every Souls game, dude. Yeah. Minus the one hitting everything, but yeah, me in every Souls game, just the biggest like pillar of rock that I can find to swing around.
Yep.
Dragon Tooth.
Dragon Tooth Club. Yeah.
So there are a few games that I can think of, other than maybe Xenoclash and Absolver, that I dislike more than Assassin's Creed Origin and Odyssey. I had like limited patience for Odyssey because I was like, hey, this is Greek. Representation is actually kind of cool. And then I was like, no, I can't.
Oh, yeah, because ancient Greece gets so little representation.
No,
in media, Peter. You're, you know, well, the most oppressed lore boy.
I'm a gamer. For me, the thing that I liked was the fact they hired Greek actors and like the accents were really good. It wasn't like cartoony. I was like, oh, this is actually kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But I hate it. And honestly, you remember when people were like clowning on a game UI by adding like Mountain Dew logos and like 12 different objective markers all on Elden Ring?
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed Origins.
There was like some speedrunner who had like a mod, and I forget what game it was, like Dark Souls 1 or something, where like every time he killed an enemy, like a new logo would appear on his screen or something like that. There's like a new UI element would get added like every minute or something like that. And he's trying to like speedrun Super Mario 64 or something like that.
That's so fucking good. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Origins and Odyssey are like that by default. They legitimately think that's good UI or UX or whatever. But yeah, I never played Syndicate because it wasn't out, which is the one in Victorian England, and I have not played the 2D ones or the 5 that are on the PS Vita, and I have not played the latest one, Valhalla. The next game is Mirage, and hopefully that'll be good. It's in like Baghdad in the 900s, and is no longer an open world game. It is an Assassin's Creed game where you play an assassin, because in Odyssey, you're not an assassin, and in Valhalla, your friend is an assassin. So it's not even about, you're not even one of them anymore.
Yeah.
But you don't become an assassin like by the end of it.
I think you're just helping out. I don't know.
I'm kind of okay. I have to assume you do get like, you get like deputized, like a field deputization or something, right? Like a field promotion to assassin.
Yeah.
So like for helping out, if it's an Assassin's Creed game, maybe I'm wrong. I got to assume that at some point in the story, it's like your friend dies and then you have to take on the role, the mantle of assassin in his place, is how I assume the story goes.
It doesn't happen in Odyssey because you don't even get a hidden blade. The hidden blade, like the spring-loaded assassin blade, I don't think has even been fucking invented in Assassin's Creed Odyssey. It is so removed from Assassin's Creed that it predates the assassin order.
Odyssey was pre-Archimedes who invented the spring.
Exactly.
I haven't bought an Assassin's Creed game ever because I was living with my parents whenever they were coming out, so they bought those ones. But on principle, like, I don't buy games that are yearly releases. Like, I don't buy Call of Duties. I don't buy sports games that come out in yearly releases. And Assassin's Creed really feels like that, where Ubisoft isn't always looking to make the best game. They're just trying to get the next Assassin's Creed out. And if it's not perfect, fine, ship it, because we'll make another one in a year. Like, we got to do it, you know? I don't know. That's not the type of game development I enjoy most of the time, so I try not to reward it. But the first ones were good. The first ones were great. Good. Yeah.
Even, like, up to Unity. Like, I stan the French Revolution one. It's a game made in France, and none of the characters have French accents, which is fucking weird, but it's a good game. Like, everybody's British in Assassin's Creed Unity.
You ever play Heavy Rain?
Yeah, I like Heavy Rain. It's dumb, but I like it.
They have French accents when they're not even supposed to.
I know. Hired a bunch of, like whatever fucking, like, theater company, like, theater kids off the street in Paris or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello and welcome back, everybody, after what may come off as a bizarre edit. But yesterday when we were recording, Ethan's hillbilly-ass internet died, and then I ran an errand for an hour, and then he got incredibly sick while I was away. So it's just Jibo and I. Hello.
Hello. And like, on top of that, we can't see each other because Discord is, like, not allowing cameras to work for some reason now.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I do for doing fucking fan requests. the most cursed episode. It literally killed Ethan.
Yeah. Ezio went back in time and cut Ethan's internet or something. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Altair, ruiner of vibes.
Yeah. So yeah, this might be a bit of a jump here, but I was just vamping because Ethan's webcam was frozen anyway. So picking up where we left off, I think, in Assassin's Creed, so prior to the open world games, the series was about the centuries-long covert war between two fanatical groups of murderers known as the Knights Templar and the Assassin Brotherhood.
Right.
But since the open world games were all set before the first game, and like in Odyssey's case, like 1400 years, some of the stuff was a little retcon heavy because like throughout time, the organizations have rebranded, right? Like the Knights Templar becomes the CIA or the FBI or whatever. Like right. I think there was like a legit military dictatorship in South America that just became the Chiquita Banana Company.
Okay.
Like there was some like US backed coup. That killed 1,000 people. It's like just a banana company now or something. You can pull up the clip. There's a Salmonella video about it too, about like just like crazy shit like that.
Wow.
Anyway.
And I mean, think retcons are okay for any game that like messes with time travel a lot, right? Like is whenever what's his face goes into an Animus, is he actually influencing time or just re-experiencing it?
No, he's living through the memories. That's why back when the framing device, which we will get into anyway, like the reason I mentioned the retcons is just like I'm telling you now that the Hidden Ones become the Assassin Order eventually, because like I'm going to be doing an Assassin's Creed series and I'm revealing that now here in part one opposed to part five in the middle of fucking May. Okay. Basically
got it.
No, he is not time traveling. That's why in the older games when they were good, if you murdered civilians, it would give you a game over because it was just like, yeah, no, Ezio never murdered civilians, man.
Right.
Like he didn't slit people's throats in the streets, or like you can fuck around long enough to find out, and then it will like reload your checkpoint.
Like your health was you straying from the original path, kind of thing. And like if you went too far from the life, then it would be like, no, redo that.
Yeah, it says desynchronized instead of like you died or whatever.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But, and, like, the retcons in this one, so, like, basically, because the earliest one now is during the Peloponnesian War, which is Odyssey. So, despite the Peloponnesian retcons, Assassin's Creed has always kind of been deep-rooted in the deep past and, like, took ideas from various conspiracy theories about secret societies, religious institutions, and ancient aliens. So, I don't think we have a drinking game for that yet, but... If your forklift's parked, you might want to crack a cold one, because it's another ancient aliens one.
I do. I'm thinking back now. I didn't have that many fond memories when I was thinking of it yesterday while recording. But I remember going to like the Assassin's Creed like Brotherhood area, or maybe not Brotherhood because I think that's a whole other thing. But like the group of assassins and getting the wrist knife for the first time and stuff, and being accepted in. And I remember that being really fucking cool.
Yeah. Like the most iconic weapon from the Assassin's Creed series, which again I want to reiterate, is not in Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Okay. Yeah.
It doesn't even have the hidden blade.
Right.
It's called the Hidden Blade, and it is like a wrist brace that has a spring-loaded knife inside of it. So it's like a switchblade on the bottom of a cuff, so you can it retracts into your sleeve, basically.
Yeah. I remember some like cool combos where it goes like right under the jaw, like into the neck kind of stuff. And
exactly. Yeah. And they kind of get tricked out a little bit too. I know there's like mods in the second game because it's in the Renaissance where it can shoot out like darts. You get like a sleeve gun too, like you're playing poker in the Old West. They changed position because I know Altair had to cut off his ring finger because that's where it came out, like through his fist. Whereas later on, there's a joke about it in Assassin's Creed 2 where Leonardo da Vinci is like, okay, Ezio, I got to cut off your finger now. He's like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? He's like, no. Are you kidding me? I'm Leonardo da Vinci. I figured out how to make a switchblade that doesn't cut your finger off, basically.
That's kind of cool. I assume an assassin can't marry either, so that like takes care of that.
It's probably like that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it is a lot like the Catholic Church, right? what else? And other ones get modified. Like Assassin's Creed 3, it has like a rotator on it. So you can like eject it and then it rotates. You can hold it like a dagger too, which is pretty cool.
Did you see the tweet that like someone from the Catholic Church put out that it's like people in the like priests only 5% of priests are pedophiles or something like that. And it was
only.
Yeah, I know. It was just like, well, I don't know if you want to be putting that out there. And then I looked into it, and apparently like 1 to 5% of people can have like those types of impulses or something. So maybe it's more in the normal range, but it 5% really feels too high. But
I mean, not to get into it. I mean, if you watch the Catholic Church kind of let people get away with it and you've got that inclination, the best thing to do is become a priest, right?
Yeah, I want the Assassin's Creed where we get rid of the child predators. That'll be good.
Yeah, you've got the like Assassin's Creed Q where you go to Congress and kill Mike Pence.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so anyway, prior to 77,000 years ago, little of the history of the Isu is known. The Isu being the highly advanced race of humanoids that ruled over Earth. They take a lot of inspiration from ancient aliens, but there is no evidence that they are aliens. They are very much an ancient society living, I think they're based out of Jordan in the Middle East, which is a lot of where the first human civilizations were, like in and around the Fertile Crescent and in Jordan and like Iraq, places like that.
Right.
But yeah, so they take a lot of the tropes, being like confused as Roman gods and shit and all having those like names and whatnot. But like, unlike the Anunnaki from the real world fake theories about ancient civilizations, they're from or seemingly from Earth, or no Assassin's Creed game has retconned far enough into the past where they are showing up with flying saucers, basically.
Okay. Right. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So the Isu, using their advanced "it isn't quite magic" science, forcibly evolved existing primate species on Earth in an effort to create a loyal and docile workforce. So they created both modern humans and other species within genus Homo, like Neanderthals and the Denisovans, basically. So they created like Homo sapien, which is the white collar slaves, and then like Homo neanderthalensis, which is the blue collar slaves, right?
Okay. Do you think they had like a ray gun to do it? And you could just only like, if you didn't scan all the way down, it would be like a top half, like human as we know it now, and bottom half, just like chimp feet.
Yeah. You just Joe Rogan, basically. Yes, I cool. Lore Boys canon, that is exactly how it happened.
I
one of the
wondering.
Many alien relics they have is just like a like ray gun, basically, that just straight up turns a regular monkey into a human being.
That's great. I always wondered what it'd be like to have hands for feet, you know? It seems very dexterous, like you get a lot done, you know?
Yeah, I mean, some swimmers, like, some people, like, are just, like, born with webbed toes, right?
Right.
And they're, like, better swimmers. But I wonder if there are people who are born with, like, I don't know, like, where the loop between your big toe and and the toe next to it, whatever that one is called, is, like, wider, right? Like, more teardrop-shaped to, like, get around a branch or something.
Right. I mean, the folks who, like, lose ability from their arms early on are like really dexterous with their feet. You can see guitar players, artists, everything. So maybe I just need to practice. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, or you need to just chop off both your arms.
Yeah, just to dive in head first. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Start now. So the project to create the ape slaves, basically, the project to create humanity was under the supervision of the Isu Yaldabaoth, Sackless, and Samael, and the overall entire thing was called Project Anthropos, which is Greek. I think Anthropos is Greek for person or people.
Yeah,
that's why it's like anthropomorphized anthropology stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah, and Ezio had to cut off both his arms for both of his new weapons, so now he uses his feet
for the hidden ankle blade in Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. Well, no, eventually it's because it's like Assassin's Creed 1, one hidden blade. Assassin's Creed 2 onwards, a lot of the guys get dual blades, right?
Right.
But then it's like turned into Bayonetta eventually, where you've just got like retractable stiletto hidden blade heels.
Yeah.
That'd be rad.
Yeah, guns for leg or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they've already gone so off course at this point. Just make a Bayonetta-style action game where she has whatever, a skin tight assassin suit and then four hidden blades, just like and just like whack combos.
Or like riding off our last week, like Gundramon, but it's just knives. Like knives will poke out of everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah. So the three names, Yeldaboth, Sakless, and Samael, are taken from the real Platonic concept, this is from Plato, of the demiurge, which is a sort of creator being that created the physical universe and trapped human souls within their bodies. So this, again, like, all things considered, like, we shit on Ubisoft, and again, the annual release thing that you mentioned yesterday, which is might get confusing for the listeners, I'm sorry, of, like, avoiding annual releases. The writing in Assassin's Creed, shockingly, is kind of consistently cool. There's definitely people, I know one of the guys who writes side quests, or used to write side quests, I met him through, just like back when I had more connections to theater people.
Yeah.
He wrote side quests for Assassin's Creed Odyssey and some other stuff like that, but, like, broadly speaking, the fiction, whoever is writing it has a Wikipedia link saved for, like, I don't know, like ancient theories, basically. Like, they kind of know what they're doing.
I dated someone who did costume design for another one of their games. And
that's right.
Yeah, yes. And it's so funny, though, because Ubisoft being the mess that it is today, like, she worked for 3 months and then was hired still for, like, a couple years after that. I'm assuming she still works there and just didn't have a job. Like, she would show up every day, turn her computer on, and there'd be nothing to do, and they were just paying her. And another part of Ubisoft's issues, man. I don't know who's managing what over there, but...
I had a fake job for 3 months last year, if you remember, right?
Yep.
It's like, hey, man, you're way overqualified for the position you applied for, but you could just sit on it for 80 days until your real position opens up. And I was just listening to AM radio at the back of a fucking warehouse.
Yeah, dude.
For 2.5 months.
I just gave someone a job like that today because we lost a bunch of projects, and I'm like, well, in the meantime, until we find you something, you manage these four people who have managed themselves up until now. So have
awesome.
Fun.
Yeah. That's middle management. Like, that's I'm my role on the show I'm currently working on has changed again, because I've only been on the show since December 16th.
Yeah.
And like 9 days before Christmas, it's not like I was gonna stop, not take that time off. So I've been collectively probably on the show for like 18 days. Business days.
Yep.
And today it was just like, yeah, I mean, we need someone to help out the personal assistants, basically. It's like, were you ever a PA? I was like, no. It's like, don't worry, it's easy. Just if one of them doesn't have enough time to cancel a meeting, you can do it. I was like, sick. Let's fucking go.
Easy enough, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the Demiurge. Throughout time, and this is kind of Loreboy's canon, right? Mm-hmm. These three names became understood as alternate names for the same being, because Yaldabaoth, Sakless, and Samael are three different concepts, kind of. In the second century text, the Apocryphon of John, Yaldabaoth is referred to by all three. So Loreboy's canon from real history to Assassin's Creed history, the knowledge was simply lost, right? Like, they couldn't remember everybody who was on the science team.
Got it.
Basically.
Got it. Okay, yeah.
Samael also became the name of the Judeo-Christian angel of death, eventually.
Wait, what was that name?
Samael, S-A-M-A-E-L. Honestly, these are probably all like Final Fantasy summons, because a lot of those have like Behemoth and Leviathan and shit like that. Like, a lot of Judeo-Christian mythology ends up as like an FF7 summon.
Okay, this I don't remember that one as an FF7, and I think Bahamut, I know all the FF
is one.
Bahamut, yeah. There's Shiva.
Yeah, that's a Hindu goddess. Yeah. I think there's Baal, which on the subject of QAnon is like the demon that Alex Jones thinks the Democrats sacrifice kids to. That's why the Balenciaga thing that happened, and like the what is it? The crime scene tape that was like accidentally Baal. I was like, oh yeah, like whoever made this Photoshop did their crazy person research.
Yeah,
like that's all these little secrets.
The Lord of Destruction. I've beaten him like probably more than 1,000 times in Diablo 2.
You've got so much adrenochrome, you're gonna be young forever.
Yeah. He's like the primo XP grind, like, if you wanna... Yeah, so you rush to Act 5 and you just do bow runs until you're able to go to the next difficulty, rinse, repeat.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, yeah, cool. Yeah. That's in Diablo, right?
Diablo 2, yep.
Yeah, sorry, I don't know if you mentioned or I just wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, no, it is.
This is very difficult. I can't see your face. it's very weird. Super curse.
Yeah, I can't see you, but I do have extra visibility on our sound stuff now, which I kind of like. I've seen all the levels. Everything's going to be so sick, but
yeah. So one of the scientists on the Project Anthropos team was named Fanes or Fanes. I'm not sure. Phanes. Again, it ends up leaking into Greek mythology. It's probably Fanes if I had to guess, but I don't know. Fanes successfully created the first modern human, and his name, like many of the Isu, would be remembered and saved in human mythology. In Greece, Fanes is known as the primordial god who created life. So he predates the Titans.
Wow.
And I think his daughter is Nyx, who you'd remember from Hades, who is like, I think she created the night sky, and then her husband or her brother was somebody else, like who was created heaven. So yeah. Nyx created the night sky, and then someone else created heaven itself.
She's
then
cool,
Kronos, and all that shit happens.
Yeah, like she's kind of on Zagreus' side a bit in Hades, and like is helping.
Isn't
you.
Isn't she your stepmom or something?
Yeah, well, she has some type of connection with your actual mother, and like that's like I know you didn't play through the whole thing. But, like after you beat it the first time, the whole thing is like how many times can I make it to the surface to meet my mother to learn a little bit more about my history, kind of thing.
Okay, yeah,
and. Nyx is always kind of like twisting things in your favor. And I think the whole darkness system where you upgrade yourself is through Nyx and a mirror she gives you or something. But Hades lore eventually.
Yeah. Because you guys both love it. And I loved what I played. But again, that was one of those things I was like, damn, that was great. And then forgot it existed.
Yeah.
yeah. So this whole creator god becoming like worshipped eventually in a religion is... also, the inspiration for that Halloween episode of The Simpsons, where Lisa creates a tiny society on a tooth she has in a Tupperware full of soda.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's another one. That's another good one. It's called Genesis Tub, which is a good one.
Huh. I don't remember that one.
Sorry?
I don't remember that one. I remember the sea monkeys from South Park. I remember the Rick and Morty like mini-verse. I don't remember The Simpsons mini-society on a tooth.
Oh, dude, it's I'd argue the best of the three, but I haven't seen the South Park one personally.
Okay.
I'm just a simp for The Simpsons.
Of course.
So, yeah, to control the new slave race that these guys had created, the Isu created the Pieces of Eden. So this would be the ray gun that turns monkeys into men, the papal staff, Excalibur, basically. These are various devices and objects that they could not only create, control human behavior, but also create like a myriad of fantastical effects. And the way they work is they interact with various neurotransmitters in the human mind, which is how they're used to control us.
That's cool. That's so, how drugs work. They block the reuptake of certain things or they open up certain things. Like,
really?
Yeah, SSRIs are like reuptake inhibitor is the last two part of SSRIs. And it just basically blocks like all the extra chemicals in your brain from being absorbed and whichever chemicals you're trying to block. And yeah, so they work the same as drugs. That's cool.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in Assassin's Creed 2, we see the papal staff below the Sistine Chapel, because spoilers for that game, the last boss is the Pope, and you kick the shit out of him. Very funny. and then in Assassin's Creed Unity, the one during the French Revolution, we see the Sword of Eden, which can create like lightning strikes and also shockwaves.
Cool.
And there's a bunch throughout history, basically, like, you know, the symbol for like a doctor, the two snakes on the wings.
Yes,
that's also piece of Eden. And spoilers for the DLC of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Pythagoras has it, and he's been alive for like 1,000 years at that point. So that's what that one does.
That's cool.
Ugh. Yeah. So Project Anthropos proceeded in creating slaves for some time without any HR violations until Fanes fell in love with and fucked one of the humans that he had created.
Oh, of course.
Justifiably horrified, he was brought before a jury of his peers to answer some questions, where presumably they were like, we're here to create slaves, not sex slaves. That's completely different. Like, okay. So Fanes and the woman that he had created basically to sexually assault fled to Little St. James, by which I mean Atlantis, which is now below the island of Thera in Greece. I think it's also called Santorini. I don't know if you can pull up the clip. Santorini. So Thera and Santorini are the same island.
Oh, jeez.
So while in Atlantis, ruled by the very permissive Isu Poseidon, an eventual Greek god of the sea, Phanes got his test tube wife pregnant with the first hybrid, who they would name Eve. So she is half human and half Isu.
Cool. And Santorini looks like a Greek place. It's an island in the southern Aegean Sea, about 200 kilometers southeast from the Greek mainland.
Yeah, so
it looks very nice, by the way. There's like a sunset and all these little Greek houses on a hill, and oh my god.
A lot of Greek islands are very, very beautiful. I know that my mom is going to disappear to Samos when her parents are dead. That's her plan.
Samos. Everybody thought it was a boy island, but it was a girl island in the end.
Island was girl.
It didn't have a peninsula. That's
very good. Yeah, oh, that's good. That's good. I hope you're writing down losers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Boys have a peninsula. That's the title of the episode. People are going to be like, Assassin's Creed, what the fuck? So as a degenerate, amoral part of the Isu scientific establishment, Phanes knew that the other Isu would love to conduct barbaric and intrusive experiments on his newborn hybrid daughter. This is probably where he got it from, like the Hippocratic Oath, where it was just like, I'd do it, is part of that, I think, is what what doctors have to swear on.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Other scientists, like Juno, were using humans for experiments already, crossing them with animals to create things like centaurs and minotaurs.
Awesome. Well, we need those. What happened to all those, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, they didn't make it to Noah's Ark, right?
Oh.
Did you ever sing the unicorn song in music class?
Yeah, I did. But the silly old unicorn or something. He never quite made it. And that's why we don't have him anymore.
Yeah, exactly, because Noah was slipping on the unicorns.
I remember, seeing a lot of paintings or whatever of Noah bringing animals on, like the lions or something. It would just be two male lions because they didn't know.
Oh, really?
The females didn't have the manes and stuff like that.
They could have checked lions for a peninsula, honestly.
Yeah, exactly.
hang on. What the fuck is going on? Hang on a second. cursed episode.
Yeah, we're having a hard time. There's an assassin trying to stop this episode from happening somewhere.
The Templars don't want this. The Templars don't want this information getting out. That's the problem. Yeah. No, I fucking minimized Google Chrome by accident, and it opened up on my second screen, so it wasn't in front of me anymore.
Have you ever seen like you know the Freemasons and stuff? Is that part of the Templar stuff?
I think they're part of Assassin's Creed canon. I didn't get into all the more modern. We're not going to get into the more modern secret societies in this one. This is very much the deep past of Assassin's Creed, basically.
I remember them being in one of the early ones, like 1, 2, 3. And, you know, you could just buy a book and learn all their secrets and their handshakes and everything.
Yeah, I saw there's a YouTube video I saw where this guy just, joins the Freemasons to figure out. I think they have a lodge in Montreal. It's near Dawson College.
Bobby LeBerge's dad is pretty high up in them.
Really?
Yeah. We should ask him about it.
Yeah. We should get in. Oh, dude, Loreboy should just become Freemasons.
Let's do it. Let's change society from the inside, baby.
Yeah. Exactly. So Phanes and his wife, who we do not know the name of. We do not know the name of the slave woman that he created to get pregnant.
Okay.
So Phanes and his wife went to great lengths to hide Eve away from Isu society. Eve, as a hybrid, began to feel for the other humans and eventually stole an apple of Eden, one of the spherical devices, one of the pieces of Eden that is used for mind control, and ran away with it. Now, what she did with this, we'll get into after the break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back, everybody. This is not a clumsy edit this time. That was a genuine ad break. Hopefully it wasn't some cursed ad, like some fucked up.
Just like giving up on the ad break and just putting it where we died the last time because it was going to be so disruptive anyways. So we might as well just throw an ad in their face. But
yeah.
A cast, can I do two mid-rolls? Can we
11
really
minutes
some...
into the show?
Yeah, exactly.
Cruel. Anyway, due to her Isu DNA, Eve was actually immune to the mind control of the Eden devices, and upon meeting another hybrid, so there were other people getting busy with their slaves, this hybrid was named Adam. She used the Apple of Eden to show him the truth about humanity's role in Isu society. This obviously ended up being interpreted in the Book of Genesis in the Bible, where Eve was convinced to eat an apple from the Tree of Knowledge by a snake.
Right.
And then shared it with Adam, and then both of them were cast out of Eden by God.
Right? Yeah, I've seen that Simpsons episode.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's like the OG Get Woke, Go Broke, right? They ended up scratching a living off rocks after eating fruit.
Didn't he?
Carnivore only, baby.
Peel bacon off of like a belly of a pig? Like the pig just rolls over?
In the Eden episode of The Simpsons? I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, thanks, pig. And he just peels bacon off his belly, like... It doesn't hurt the pig at all.
On the subject of unicorns, that's where they have a unicorn. He like tries to dig a hole back into Eden for Homer and Marge, or Adam and Eve, and he like dies of exhaustion. And Flanders is just like, "Oh no, my unicorn! Oh, What have they done to you, Gary?"
I forgot.
He dies of a heart attack after digging a hole.
So then, yeah, Simpsons canon. That's what happened to the unicorn.
Yeah, like why the fuck would you use a horse to dig a hole?
Ethan,
so good.
Living on a horse farm, would like be late because he had to bury a horse and stuff, which must be an awful experience in the winter.
Yeah, yeah. That's a big hole. Yeah. Do you use a backhoe for that?
Yeah, I think we had like a smaller version of a backhoe. I forgot what they're called, but
a front end one, like a back end one.
Oh, it's a front end one. It's a
bobcat.
What they call it? Yeah, bobcat. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, not to go off track too much here, but I remember there was like a dinosaur in the modern age movie that I saw when I was like living in Cujoac, so probably like 1995,
right.
Where the end of the movie, the climax, is like a ripoff of Aliens, but a guy kills the rogue dinosaur with a bobcat, like because you know the ones that pick up logs, they got like a claw on the front.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
he like wrestles with and defeats it.
We use that one in the forest. Like Ethan's dad paid us for one summer, and we got absolutely nothing done. Well, we got something done, but I remember
Ethan told me about this.
Yeah,
like, didn't he like knock his brother on his ass with it?
Yeah, his brother was pretending to fight it. Ethan like used it to knock his brother on his ass. They picked me up by like the belt loop and dangled me until my pants fell down around my ankles and I was hanging in the air.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was a fun summer. Ethan's dad always said, I hope you boys had fun, because I made zero fucking money.
Yeah, you know what? Should have thought ahead, Joe. You didn't. It's your fault for hiring your son and his idiot friends.
He helped me go to school, though, so it was a good
guy
move.
That's fair. So Eve was eventually elected leader of the human rebellion against the Isu, and with Adam and the other humans waged war against their creators. She has like an encoded message in a talisman, which you can fucking find in one of the PS Vita games, I think.
Sure.
I think I remember reading that. So anyway, yeah, there's like some kind of memory disc that is like now a jade talisman that some rich bitch owns in Louisiana.
Okay.
Basically. Yeah. And that's, I know the one in PS Vita, you play as a female assassin who's like, I don't know if she's an escaped slave or if slavery had been outlawed at this point. It's like post, emancipation, whatever it is. She's basically, her assassin skill is because she's a black woman in Louisiana. She like takes disguises as like various housekeepers around around Baton Rouge, which I think is a pretty cool thing because I really like Hitman, which is all about disguises.
Yeah.
But me and, you know, like everyone else on Earth, did not own a PS Vita, so I did not play this one.
Yeah. If that game came out today, there would be so many people angry that you have to be a black woman to play. It would be so stupid.
It's been out for over a decade at this point. I think it would just be like some sort of re-release, just like squirted out by Ubisoft to try and save their stock price.
Right.
Pump and Dump still active, by the way. Pump and Dump still active, guys. Go out there.
Did you ever play any of the Mafia games?
No.
No? Like, Mafia 3 is set in, the bayou kind of thing, and it's a cool setting, and it's basically just a different like GTA kind of thing. But
yeah, I know Joey Diaz is in it. That's all I know.
Oh yeah,
he's also in the Sopranos prequel, which is bad.
You mentioned that on the bonus a couple weeks ago. Remember?
Yeah, he's Pussy's dad in the prequel, which it makes sense because he looks exactly like the actor who played Pussy in the series,
right? And Joey Diaz has done some pretty gangster shit.
Yeah, exactly. He knows. Yeah. Fairly active.
Yeah.
So those with immunity to the mind controlling effects of the Pieces of Eden. So it turns out there's like more people who are kind of getting an immunity to this after the centuries. So people with the immunity to the mind controlling effects could get in close to their Isu targets and kill them quietly, thus becoming the first hidden ones. So this has been a long time coming, basically.
Okay.
The Isu are broadly stronger and taller than humans, and they're a lot more technologically advanced. However, in their hubris, they ended up being vastly outnumbered by their slaves, right? The Isu also reproduce slower than humans, so their populations ended up being, like, vastly different after the centuries. So, like, pre-rebellion, obviously, you would let, like, the humans would breed. So if you had, like, a breeding pair, and unlike in my aquarium where I have a fence up to keep my animals from fucking,
right.
If you let two just nasty little humans get all over each other, I think they lay eggs. I'm not certain, right? But then you got to take care of this other human. Not only do you have to take care of the human eggs, right? Yeah. You need the heat lamp and the paper towel and the egg carton, whatever you did in science class.
And then the easiest, then, they just won't breed, right? Like, you can put all the bamboo you want in between them, and they just... They just won't take the bait.
We've spent so much money trying to get ancient aliens to breed in a Chinese zoo. It's fucking ridiculous. It just doesn't fucking work.
Yeah, we try. You know, you can't force love.
Yeah, exactly. so their populations are being different over the centuries. I think this also happened in the real-life Haitian Revolution, where the slaves overthrew their French masters, because, like... slaves outnumbered the French so much, and obviously, like, the slave masters of Haiti were just a bunch of, like, foppish French dandies, so they obviously just got their shit pushed in. Also, not to get too conspiratorial, the Haitian Revolution seems to be the source of a conspiracy that I truly believe as to why Haiti has been neglected and fucked up forever, is because the West, TM, is still mad at them for freeing themselves.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know a lot about history. Maybe Ethan would have had something more on that, but I'll just trust you. I'll believe it.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's kind of a conspiracy, but I mean, okay. I choose to believe it. It's like, would the U.S. government be that petty and the European governments be that petty forever? I think so.
I mean, yeah, we are talking about ancient aliens, so might as well start throwing in the conspiracies.
Exactly.
Yeah. I can't see you, but I assume your hair is standing on end and you have your hands in front of the camera.
I look exactly like that guy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, whatever, Yorgo, whatever his last name is. He's Greek as fuck.
Is he?
Yeah, he is. I think so, at least. His first name is Greek. It's my middle name.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So during the war between the Isu and the humans, the Isu craftsmen like Hephaestus would create weaponized pieces of Eden like Excalibur and the Spear of Leonidas. The main thing you use to assassinate people in Assassin's Creed Odyssey is just the shortened Spear of Leonidas. It gets broken at Thermopylae. So it's just like the spearhead and like whatever, like a foot long handle.
In Odyssey, do you have the choice to play as a female as well?
So that one's cool. They have Cassandra and whatever her brother's name is. And they actually have two different voice actors too. So it's not a silent protagonist.
I played it before it came out at, one of these, like, I think it's Migs. Like, it's, just like a game, expo or whatever that people in the industry go to just talk to people who work in the industry or whatever. And right, I played that, and I played as Cassandra, and it was kind of fun. I remember just like going from camp to camp and fucking a bunch of people up. And that was fun.
But I played as Cassandra as well. When you get a choice like that between the sexes and it doesn't really affect the story, this, the same reason I did it in Cyberpunk 2077, I just choose the voice actor I like better.
Okay.
Like, I didn't like the guy who played Cassandra's brother in Odyssey, and I do not like male V either.
Right.
So I played as I made my cyber waifu, and then I played as Cassandra. Cassandra is also the canonical protagonist of Odyssey because she has a child that ends up becoming important later.
Cool. Yeah, Girl Islands don't have panisculas. Male voice actors don't have Vs. We got it.
Yeah. Precisely.
Yeah. Conventionally. And we accept everybody anyways.
Of course. Whatever. Island, any kind of archipelago. I don't really care what it is. You're welcome here.
Yeah, and I'll visit you as well.
Exactly. As long as you're pretty and you got as long as you got good weather. I'm very open-minded.
Yeah.
So the war was brought to an abrupt end by the Great Catastrophe. Some would come to call this event Ragnarok.
Oh.
A coronal mass ejection from the sun hit the Earth, which caused the Earth's magnetic field to flip. During this, the planet was exposed to the sun's radiation, which caused our planet to burn for weeks on end. And the magnetic forces also caused massive storms and earthquakes on a global scale. After the event, only about 10,000 humans remained and only about a few hundred Isu. This whole magnetic pole flipping thing is, again, from conspiracies. That was like the 2012 apocalypse, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Kony 2012 was the flipping of the magnetic poles of the Earth.
I remember hearing something about this actually happened in long time history ago. Like,
I think it does happen. I just don't believe it peels the Earth apart. I think it's happened multiple times throughout the history of the planet, right?
Right, yeah.
So this like population of 10,000 people left over is pretty cool, though, because, again, this is taken from real history. In real life, there seems to be something of a population bottleneck in which in humans, which coincides with what may have been one of the largest volcanic eruptions that we know of. So again, the years line up here. So roughly 75,000 years ago, real years ago, and also 75,000 years ago in Assassin's Creed, a supervolcano in Lake Toba, Indonesia, erupted and may have drastically altered the climate by blocking out the sun. Evidence shows us that Toba managed to coat the entirety of southern Asia with up to 6 inches of volcanic ash.
Jeez, dude. That's something that can still happen to us, like, any day now. Like,
yeah, if you Google Lake Toba, you'll see the island is kind of crescent-shaped from where it fucking blew up.
Lake Toba. I was thinking, by the way, while I look this up, the magnetic field flipping and stuff, like, as we move to more and more automation, like trucks driving themselves from place to place, like imagine like every GPS just going down all at once when everything flipped instantly and like giant trucks flying off of the road. It's like terrifying.
Don't know if it's that dramatic.
I think it would mess up GPS, or maybe that I just heard this on an Ancient Aliens. But
yeah, I can't correct you.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that bad.
Wow. Yeah, it's just like a chunk of the island missing.
Yeah, wow. It's crazy. I mean, it blew up and then coated Asia in volcanic ash. So this is kind of funny. In an insane coincidence, I was listening to Rogan running some errands after writing this episode.
Yeah.
So in the January 14th episode of Joe Rogan, he has Shane Gillis and Matt on, and both those guys are fucking hilarious.
Right.
And they were joking about climate change, and Joe just brought up the Toba eruption. So like an hour, of course he would, because it's just like, he loves all that shit. But yeah, it was like an hour after I wrote this script, I get in the car and Joe is talking about the same fucking island. And I'm just like, man, we got to get on that show, dude. So we can just talk about volcanoes for 3.5 hours.
Yeah. I think we got to get like a little bit loopier, you know, we need more clickable. So we got to get famous for like some crazy shit, I think, first. So.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, we'll let Ethan do that.
Not just the lore. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Ethan's out just doing crazy shit right now. He's not sick. He's I don't know,
trying to get the boys on Rogan.
Yeah, trying to get the boys on Rogan, you know?
Yeah. So real genetic science shows evidence that humanity at this time, 75,000 years ago, was reduced to somewhere between 1,000 and 10,000 breeding pairs of people.
Wow.
So we were fucked, basically. And we managed to bounce back from all those human eggs, thankfully. But, there's also evidence found in ice cores drilled in Greenland showing a violent and abrupt climate change.
Dude, have you ever seen chicken ovaries?
What?
I was watching this thing about, like,
No, but does it just look like a bunch of soft eggs? Does it look like a human ovary?
It looks like yolks, but they're, like, tied together. There's, like, it looks like two big yolks. And then I was watching this, like, Japanese cook who lives in America who does like chicken skewers, and he's like, all these chicken places are throwing out all this good meat, and he'll cook you the ovaries or like the testicles and everything, and it's supposed to be really good. But the ovaries are like, when you think of chicken meat, it's all like pinkish or whatever, and chicken ovaries are just like bright yellow. They're beautiful to look at, but I don't know what they'd be like to eat.
I'm not gonna condone a Google of that, but listener, you presumably are an adult who can make your own fucking decision.
Yeah, I was gonna take a picture for you. These ones look gross. Where's the pretty ones? Here's some pretty ones. Yeah, I honestly, if anyone would make me eat chicken testicles, it was this guy. He was making a real good case for him. Here you go.
Let's see here.
They almost look like fruits. Yeah,
it just looks like a yolk or an apricot. It looks like a fruit with veins in it. Yeah. Honestly, the bigger picture is kind of gross, but I mean, it does just look like a hard-boiled egg yolk, but still wet.
Yeah, I think I would try it once, but I'm afraid it would pop in your mouth, you know?
Like oh, a, yeah. A grape. You think it's got a grape texture? Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I hope not.
Are these seedless chicken yolks? Like, they are. Don't worry about it.
I'm going to become a spokesman for chicken ovaries and get on Joe Rogan.
Oh, dude, if you claim, make some wild medicinal claim about them, you'll get
got it.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. Anyway, excuse me. So yeah, abrupt climate change in Greenland. Ice cores are really cool in real life to read about because ice like or snow like buries and gets tiny little air bubbles in there, and they just last forever, so you can always see like what the atmosphere was like 100,000 years ago, because a pinhead sized bubble is just got snowed on, and then it just, because the snow ideally in Antarctica like never fucking melts, it just gets squished forever for, at this point, centuries, right? Or millennia.
Yeah, it's permafrost,
which is pretty cool. Permafrost is different. That is the dirt. That's where the ground never defrosts.
Is it? I thought it was like where just like the line where it would never melt past.
The ground stays frozen, which is why there's also a tree line, is because the trees can't root deep enough, so they just blow over. So they can't grow.
Okay.
Anyway, Thera, the island I mentioned earlier.
Before we move on, Antarctica, what do you think it smells like?
I think I've heard this before. Mm-hmm. I can't remember, though. It probably smells great, because like a cold day smells good. Even in the city.
Apparently, it overwhelmingly smells like penguin shit.
Oh, dang. That's probably true. That sucks.
But maybe, like, that's where humans are landing. It's, like, near the water where all the penguins are at or something. I don't know. But, that's what it
is. What do penguin ovaries look like? Do they look like chicken ovaries?
Oh, God. Should I look it up? I'm scared.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead, listener. Whatever you want.
Oh, God.
So the island I talked about earlier, Thera, was also destroyed by a volcano in real life about 3,600 years ago. So, I like how human history, all the volcanoes, all the apocalyptic volcanoes, like kind of took care of themselves before we had cell phones or anything like that.
Right. Yeah. And it could still happen, like I said. Honestly, a penguin ovary is much harder to find. I don't think we cut open penguins as much as we cut.
We don't need as many.
All I have here is two penguins. It's like a cross section of them fucking, and it's a cartoon, and you can see the penis inside the woman, and they're like kissing at the same time. I'm getting penguin sex ed before I'm getting anything about ovaries we could eat. So
okay.
I think it's romantic that they penguins. Kiss at the same time. That's pretty cool.
Birds are kind of cute when they're in love because they do like knock their beaks together.
Yeah.
I think they're intelligent enough that that's actual affection, right? Yeah. I don't think that's like anthropomorphic. It's not like two lizards like bumping into each other and being like, oh, they're kissing sort of shit.
Yeah, I'll post that there so Ethan wonders what the fuck we're talking about.
Put it as a spoiler image.
Okay.
Like, as if it's relevant to the episode.
Good idea.
So, prior to the Great Catastrophe, the Isu do have a science team, and they did have some idea that the sun was up to no good. However, the war with the humans obviously pulled away a lot of their time and resources, meaning they couldn't finish any of the 7 proposed solutions to the impending disaster. I'm not going to go over all of them, but a few stuck out to me. One was a gigantic force field, which already existed in some capacity, at least for personal use. In Assassin's Creed 4, there's like a secret quest, like a collectible quest you can go on, that rewards you with a alien suit, basically, that gives you 100% protection from ranged attacks. It's kind of like the force field in Dune as well. That's why everybody sword fights in Dune.
Cool.
I think it was really cool. Black Flag rules. Like, it was really, really, really good. And yeah, this is like one of those side quests. It's kind of like the side quest in Horizon that gives you, like, you get the kind of obscure collectibles and then you get the force field suit. So exactly like that a couple years prior.
Cool. Yeah, I used to watch a friend play Black Flag a lot. Like, we'd just go by and they'd always be on the TV. And it just always seemed like he was boarding another ship and taking over, looting it, going back to his own ship. And cool stuff.
Yeah. The ship combat in Odyssey, personally, I think sucks, because obviously the game predates gunpowder. So the whole, hooking spears 10 feet across at a different wooden boat isn't as fun as the cannons and all the, like, the chain cannonballs to, like, rip down masts and shit. And there's none of that. It's all just pointed sticks.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And also obviously because, like, Ancient Aliens and all this shit, the force field armor, if I recall, in Black Flag is very, like, Mayan inspired. It's very kind of like that kind of art style, that very distinctive art style that a lot of South American, or ancient South American human art has.
Sure.
I thought it was pretty cool. And yeah, 100% protection from ranged attacks. It is a really, really good upgrade.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. Another Isu scientist posited the use of time travel to go back and find a solution before the human rebellion. Time travel, however, didn't exist, so they didn't actually manage to act on this one. So I very much... This sounds like an Elon Musk thing. He would just, like, suggest time travel to solve climate change and then do nothing ever.
Yeah. Right?
Just like his fucking Mars mission.
Dude, I'm seeing so many, like, clips of him back in the day when people liked him more comparing to what he is now. Like, you know what? The number one problem I see in leadership is the person in charge has never done the job. Then he goes and, like, takes over Twitter and fires half of everyone. Like,
yeah.
How have you done the half of every job at Twitter? You know,
he does nothing but tweet now. It's just like, this is what Twitter does, right? You guys, you're like, it's like a tweet factory. It's like, well, no, actually, it's a software company. He's like, oh fuck.
I'm glad finally people are catching up and not liking the billionaire.
Yeah, I mean, they're gonna be delicious one day.
One day.
Yeah. This one here.
Unless
so skip
they
ahead
invent you... time travel on us. Go back before the human rebellion.
It's not going to be Elon, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
He'll just have like a Bristol board or like one of those like science fair things, the little cardboard folding doors, and that's like as far as he's going to get. And then a bunch of dumb like Saudi venture capitalists are going to give him $1 trillion.
Yep. At least he'll die
rich. This is going to be. Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, yeah, at this point. So spoilers for Valhalla, so maybe skip ahead 30 seconds. A secret supercomputer called Yggdrasil, so the world's tree, was created. I think I didn't play this. I didn't find out where it was. I think it's in England because that's where Valhalla is set.
That's the server that the Digimon adventures take place on.
Really?
A computer called Yggdrasil.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah,
so Yggdrasil was a supercomputer setup, which, again, I think is in England, where it could actually scan, store, and re-upload people's consciousness into new bodies post-catastrophe, which is a really fucking cool idea. Like, and you can also relive stored memories. There's a quest in Valhalla where you relive the stored memories of Odin, the Isu that inspired the god, which is, like, such a cool fucking idea. And I wish that, like, even if you, like, beeline the story of Valhalla, it's still, like, 85 hours long. And I'm like, guys, please don't bury the fucking whatever, the world tree computer server where you live out a day in the life of Odin during Ragnarok.
Yeah.
You know, 48 hours into your 70-hour fucking main quest.
That's a very cool idea.
Such a fucking waste. It is such a cool idea, yeah.
I hear the parking police by you, by the way. It's not a big deal. It's barely it. But I know because they just passed by mine not that long ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're clearing snow.
In Montreal, by the way, their solution to asking people to move their car, it's not an app. It's not a time of day where you should move your car. It's whenever they're ready.
There is an app. Yeah.
well, what they do, even if everybody should have the app, because what they do is they play sounds that sound like fucking laser beams. Whoop, 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 whoop.
Yeah.
And then fog horn. And they just disturb everyone's night. Like, I can only imagine if you worked, like, nights or, like, early mornings or something, and these things come by at 10 p.m. sounding like fucking the guy from Police Academy and, like,
yeah, so the snow removal guys also, so they'll put up a sign on the side of the street that says between 7 and 7, so overnight, 12 hours, you can't park on this side of the street because we do one side at a time. But they will always blast the siren, even if the snow removal guys show up at 4 in the morning. So they will just wake you the fuck up whenever they're here. As if it's just like, oh yeah, at 4, I'm like, oh, I did forget to move my fucking car 7 hours ago, right?
Dude, it's so annoying. And it's like not like anything steady where you can kind of tone it out or whatever. It's like 5 different noises that are just also jarring. It's like, yeah.
Oh yeah, it's like straight up like Guantanamo Bay. Like sound torture. It is made to torment you, so you come out and move your car. Yeah. It's horrible.
Montreal plays Baby Shark on loop for 8 hours because of a snowfall.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I have the app, and it notifies me in the middle of the day. Like, when you get home from work, move your car. Great. Okay. But it's the fucking boomers. Of course, we need to use Baby Shark to get them to move their fucking SUVs, right?
It's crazy, yeah.
Anyway, the final and my personal favorite of the 7 solutions that the Isu wanted to use to save the world was they found out that the pieces of Eden, certain pieces of Eden at least, could physically manifest belief if enough humans believed the same thing at the same time. So this is like the orcs from 40K solution.
Right.
The plan was to launch a piece of Eden into orbit towards the sun and then have enough humans set up to just wish Earth into being safe.
Okay.
Yeah. This is how a lot of the pieces of Eden ended up as religious relics as well, because with the knowledge lost, they can still kind of, one, control people, and two, kind of create miracles and shit like that, right? That's why the papal staff and, like, I don't know what it's actually called, the actual relic. I couldn't find it, but you know in Monty Python they had the holy hand grenade, which is like the kind of gilded orb with a little cross on top of it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was modeled after a real thing, and in Assassin's Creed, obviously, it's a piece of Eden. It's one of the apples of Eden, so it's a mind control orb. Basically.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Can you use it?
I think you get an... You do in... I think in Assassin's Creed 2, you get one of the orbs. Yeah. Because okay. The boss fight against the Pope, he's got his staff, and I think you get... I think you get an orb. You get an apple of Eden that I think you can use. You do get to use... I don't remember in which game, whether it's that one, Brotherhood, or the one in Turkey, which is Revelations.
Okay.
All the Ezio trilogy is... broadly good. I don't like Brotherhood personally. Like I said,
which
I think I said yesterday.
You're in?
The first one.
Okay, first one. Okay.
Yeah, which it's the one I have not played, but I'm kind of curious about Mirage. The one it's going to be set in like 9th century Baghdad, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like back to basics. He's a assassin instead of, you know, like a Viking who happens to stumble across a supercomputer called Yggdrasil. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So anyway, none of these things actually happened, and eventually Juno, one of the Isu, would use a supercomputer called the Eye to predict mathematically predict the birth of Desmond Miles, the kind of framing device protagonist of Assassin's Creed, which I will explain in a later episode because he's very crucial to this later on.
Mm-hmm.
Being pretty confident in her calculations, she tampered with the Eye so that it would lead Desmond and his ancestors on a path to reviving her so that she could then take over the world after the planet and civilization had recovered.
Whoa, that's
Minerva.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's how Assassin's Creed 3 ends, I think, is the defeat of Juno. Again, they all kind of blend together because I played them all at the same time.
Right.
You do beat her.
I remember Desmond Miles. He's the guy, like, whenever you pop out of the memory for a second, he's, like, the guy, like, whoa, what happened? Where am I? And then you walk around a lab for a little bit and then go back to actually playing the game, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The framing device has always been there since the first game, which is kind of cool. Yeah. Again, the writing's fairly consistent. We'll talk about it more later. He dies in Assassin's Creed 3, and then they just steal his brain, which is how they explain having more games after he's dead.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got one vial, like, with Desmond's brain. You got your chicken ovaries in the next one. Some penguins kissing in the next one. What kind of science are you doing here?
Yeah, I mean, I chose to play as the female penguin because I didn't like the male penguin voice actor. Right? Like waddling around ancient Greece honking at people.
I'd play that game, to be honest.
Well, dude, it would probably be like, you could probably do like a penguin assassin like meme game, like Goat Simulator or whatever. Yeah. Or that fucking goose game, but in this one you're trying to assassinate Pythagoras.
Yeah.
TM, 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 patent pending. You can't steal that.
Just penguins hate triangles.
Well, I was trying to think of an Antarctica-related joke, and I was just like, nothing I'm about to say is going to make any fucking sense.
Yeah, fair. We haven't been there. Very few people have. I remember seeing a Steam chart where it like shows like little blips everywhere of who's playing games where, and there was just one blip in Antarctica.
Like, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of Russian science teams in Antarctica, and Russians fucking love Counter-Strike. That doesn't surprise me. Yeah. 1.6, billiard. So, following the war, both humans and Isu decided to let bygones be bygones and rebuild as best they could. Due to a lot of the geological activity, most of the Isu civilization on the surface had been destroyed, buried, or swallowed by the ocean. What remained were a few underground vaults containing a few pieces of Eden. Again, setups for a future episode. The opening for Assassin's Creed Rogue, which is the one set during the French and Indian War, which is very good.
There's so many that I don't even know the name of. Holy.
It's fucking ridiculous. I could be making them up at this point, right?
Yeah, really.
The inciting incident of Assassin's Creed Rogue sees you, an assassin, whose name is like Shay Cormac. He's like the most Irish man on the fucking planet.
Okay.
And he's like a local Montreal actor too, which I think I've met him by accident at different parties. He's great. He goes to Portugal to steal a apple of Eden for the Assassin Brotherhood to keep it out of the hands of the Knights Templar. And the like Isu security system causes an earthquake, which is like the Assassin's Creed explanation of like this insane fucking earthquake that occurred in Portugal in like the 1700s. So again, taking real history and being like, but it was aliens sort of stuff, or but it was the Isu, which is, again, pretty cool.
Man, what did people think back in the day, eh? Like, whenever in the 1700s, when you have a massive earthquake like that? Like,
they thought it was God.
Yeah, like, must have been.
That's what they thought it was. God was mad, and he sank Portugal into the ocean. Good riddance, I think.
Yeah. I wonder, if any weird laws came out of that. Like, someone was like, doing something, like, I don't know, like brushing your teeth, and then that happened. It's like, I should never brush my teeth again. God was very angry. And then the dental hygiene was set back for her through 300 years or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, one guy brushing his teeth in Portugal, in Lisbon, is what caused a fucking earthquake. So eventually the last of the Isu died out naturally, and with them much of the knowledge on how to properly operate the pieces of Eden. The pieces would be found all over the world. They were like a global civilization. Assassin's Creed 3, there's a relic in possession of the Mohawk in North America, so one of the native tribes here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a DLC which I never played called Tyranny of King Washington, which is like a what-if expansion where George Washington gets a piece of Eden and becomes like an alien ruler of the Americas, which sounds fucking great. Yeah. I actually own it, I think. I think because I have the... When Ubisoft gave me Odyssey, the special edition of Odyssey that they gave me came with the remaster of Assassin's Creed 3, which I think has Tyranny of King Washington included. Again, a lot of the DLCs for the... Because it's all in a simulation, right? The Assassin's Creed DLCs can be kind of wacky.
Yeah.
But the Alien King George Washington, very cool.
Yeah, if you want to
very dopey.
If you want to play on real history with like a little bit of video game flair and what if kind of stuff, that Assassin's Creed's probably a pretty good series for you.
Yeah, if I knew how many games there were at this point, because I think there's like 30... I'd be fairly comfortable saying that most of them are good enough to recommend. I think personally.
I saw someone on Reddit who did I have a bunch of games and it starts off at the beginning of time and it goes to the future and I've made them all chronological. So you can play 30 games that start off in ancient history and end up in the future kind of thing.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and it and like 15 out of 30 of them were Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course.
They were doing so much of the heavy lifting, but yeah.
Well, they do choose pretty neat times, right? Like, yeah. The period of Egypt where Cleopatra's in charge is a neat time that, you know, isn't covered by a lot of like third person games. Like, basically, they have like a much more immersive version of like a civilization map, right? Like, if you want to play Civ 6, you can do the Peloponnesian War or Ptolemaic Egypt, but like being there and hanging out with people is like, kind of cooler, I guess. Yeah. Not the Noctiv or anything like that, but
that's
just
a different
like,
scale.
Cool.
It's a different scale. Like, do you want to see like wars that take over hundreds of years, or do you want to be in like right in the city kind of thing? Eh?
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, Assassin's Creed is also kind of analogous to Forrest Gump. It's just like you're playing just like the guy or the girl or the archipelago that was just there for every seemingly important like event in fucking history, right? But of course,
I love
how
you, Cassandra. Yeah, dude, I want to see Forrest Gump in that game.
I may not be a monkey man, Jenny, but I know what forced evolution is. Write that one down.
Yeah, I'm trying.
So kings, queens, popes, and dictators have all owned various pieces of Eden here and there throughout history, using their power to shape the world we live in and control people. There is one that I accept a little bit of edginess overall in my culture, but they should not have done this in Assassin's Creed. Canonically, in the Assassin's Creed canon, Hitler has a piece of Eden, which is how he took over Germany and became chancellor and started World War II, right?
Okay.
He kills his body double in the bunker, and then outside of the bunker is assassinated by an Assassin's Creed assassin. And I was just like, man, the guy in the goofy hood killing Hitler is bad taste. Yeah. And this should not be canon.
Like, the reason Hitler had his mustache like that is he had two nosebleeds that came out a little bit to the sides.
And the points of his mustache were hidden blades.
Yeah, it would take him off every time, so that's why he had the goofy mustache. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. He would be a Templar, because the Templars are the bad guys in Assassin's Creed. And then in the Assassin's Creed games, a lot of the pieces of Eden are seen kind of like photoshopped into famous paintings and stuff like that, which I very much like. I like Assassin's Creed 2. You collect the Renaissance paintings, and like the whole thing is just a one-for-one representation of the real thing, but then they've got like a golden orb instead of the actual apple they would be holding in the painting or whatever, right?
Right. Got it, man.
Excuse me. And this is kind of a play on some of the other ancient astronaut theories, where modern kooks interpret like a terrible drawing from 10,000 years ago as somehow a completely accurate and honest depiction of aliens coming to Earth to teach like a caveman crop rotation,
right?
Which is why this shit is so fucking stupid. It's just like, no, the stick man I understand you're in a French cave and there's a painting of a stick man pointing at an orb in the sky. Dog, it's not a saucer, okay?
I
get it. It could be fucking anything.
Can't wait till the next volcano blows up and then people think your art is actual part of history. Like, wait, Kirby used to tuck and look at himself in the mirror.
Yeah, no. I mean, we'd have to get Kirby tucking his dick back.
Mario's Christian,
like carved into a cavern wall. But yeah, it's like always this mundane stuff of just like, yep, this is a guy who clearly painted aliens coming to Earth, and it's just nonsense, right? Yeah. But the secret relics in the art is a good idea that they've taken from. Right. So Adam and Eve both survived long enough to have sons, Cain and Abel, also in the Bible,
of course.
Which is where their stories ended up in various religious texts, I'm sure. Like
we have an SCP episode on them.
Yeah, exactly. The various other religions, you know, there's Christianity and then the SCP. Barbaric ones. I don't know. If, I don't fucking know. And then the murder of Abel would one day lead to a shadowy organization being referred to as the Sons of Cain, which we will get into next time.
Cool.
So I have been your Assassin's Creed host, Assassin's Creed Peter O'Donoghue. You can find my artwork at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram or at the website, loreboys.com, or on Discord, linked below.
Yep.
Ethan out there trying to get us on Rogan. Big ups to the big man.
He's doing great.
And Jamie, what about you?
Yeah, just hanging out in the Discord. Been hanging out with lots of folks lately. We had I already think I talked about it in the first half, but I'm ever vigilant. I'm the moderator. Even I have the Night's Watch, and I'll make sure everyone's safe in our Discord. So come on by. Yeah, that's pretty much it. This is where Ethan usually takes over.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you want to support the show financially, the best way to support the show is obviously to tell people about it. We're coming so fucking close to 1 million downloads, which is nonsense. Thank you so much. Keep up the good work telling people about the show and rate it 5 stars to help us in the algorithm. Of course, we have Patreon linked below if you'd like to join the guys we mentioned at the top of the show yesterday and get some special privileges, some secret chats, some whatever, extra votes on episodes. We do weight Patreon votes heavier. That's why we start with them at the beginning. And there's various tiers depending on how much money you want to spend and what rewards you want. Every single one of them gets you the secret chats, though, if you want a little, you know, if you want your own little private island, your own little St. James on the Discord server. That's the place to do it.
And it's all that money, like, it's not just thrown away. It is reinvested into the show. Like, one of the last times, I know it sounds funny that this is an investment, but you guys bought me Elden Ring, which is our most popular episode by far. Like, it still hits top monthly downloads, and it's been released like months ago at this point. It does invest, your investments do go back into the show, so every little bit helps, so thank you.
And upgrades our stuff, not just buys us games that we're going to cover one day, but also, like, you know, well,
my PC
us, like, save money.
My PC's like kind of crapping out on me from time to time, and I need to kind of upgrade so I can like get better recordings and like fix our mics and do all that types of stuff. And like that's you bought mics for us, you've bought headphones for Ethan, webcams, all that stuff.
And of course, if you don't trust Patreon, because obviously they're Knights Templar, they are bad guys, we always have Lore Boys Prime, and this time what we're looking to do is find some subjects to forcibly evolve into new forms. Now I know we're all already human, unless you're a monkey man listening to the episode, welcome. ook I believe is what they say in their native tongue. But yeah, we need some volunteers to forcibly evolve. Jamie's got a goofy ass ray gun that makes cartoon noises, and we're just gonna point it at your balls and and see what happens.
Oh no, my balls are now chicken ovaries.
Good God. Anyway, I think that would constitute
the Lore Boys.
Hey, Lore Boys. No one was paying attention. They were just like, yo, you want to like basically make an anime with a talking cat being pursued by the personification of death? And Antonio Banderas is in it? And they're like, yep.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.